It is extremely difficult to maintain a relationship if there aren't balanced personalities in that relationship. You cannot have always stay out of balance and expect to remain together. That's the notion of a group concept. We have to come in and take our differences and put them on the table. Many people are not clear on what a group concept is. So let me just tell you, group concept, as I and the people that I am familiar with understand it. Group concept is not how we elected Bill Clinton. That is a majority vote. That is not a group conscience. I'm not sure America has conscience currently, and certainly not a group conscience. But a group conscience is where you put something out on the table, and it will remain on the table until everyone in the group has, number one, been heard, all thoughts. Even if there's only one person who disagrees, you have given them equal time to present their side. And then the group is equally willing to attempt the solution that's about to be attempted. If your group cannot come to a complete consensus, you need to talk about it some more. You need to have another meeting. You need to go out and get more information. It has to be a mutual agreement of everyone concerned in the decision you're about to make to constitute a group conscience. It is not the seven of us that stop drinking the longest to go vote when you're not there, and that's it. Yeah, the group had a conscience. You know, we are it. This is what happens often in families. The group has a conscience. Mom or dad. Or my daughter, I don't think she's in the room, but if she were here, she'd probably say, or grandma. Grandma's in charge. You know, somebody is in charge. That's not a group conscience, and it doesn't make a good long-term relationship. If every decision is made by one person, you're going to have an unhappy bunch. Tradition 2 says our family, for family or relationship purposes, there is but one authority, a loving God as he expresses himself in our informed family conscience. Informed family conscience. That's where everybody knows what the heck is going on in the house. How often does that occur? Each partner is God's trusted servant, neither governed. Well, the house would be in disarray if it wasn't in charge. How many of you remember the first sober trip you took away from whoever you were living with? How many of you had the need to leave endless lists of instructions for whoever was in charge? How many of you come to the workshop for the first time and have to call back home endlessly? And then they're not home. So there must be something wrong because they're not home. It's sunny, it's spring, they're outside, but no, I'm here, they're there, they must be in trouble. Now, I can't focus on anything going on in the workshop because I can't find my family and they can't function without me. Those of you that could not leave your lover behind or your husband behind to come here, those of you whose primary purpose last night was to call home and tell your husband where you were and what you were doing and ask what he was doing? Are not well yet. You're not well yet. They usually get along better than usual when we are not there. What, you know, all the things that your partner says they can't do, you know, like they don't know how to iron a shirt, for instance. If you stay gone, they will iron shirts. They will cook. If they use all the dishes, they'll wash them. Stay gone long enough, when they're out of a dish, they will find the soap and wash it. Think about it. Two or more persons, when gathered together for mutual benefit, may call themselves a relationship. The only basic requirement for a good marriage or relationship is a mutual desire to be in that relationship and a willingness to make it work. Everybody has to want to be there. Everybody has to be committed to make it work. Everybody has to be committed to make it work. Four, each partner should be autonomous except in matters affecting the other partner or the family or relationship or society as a whole. The relationship cannot swallow me whole. I don't want to be there. It cannot. My friend Sandy Ping says, you know, she got the first time she got married. Got the marriage vows and two shall become as one, and we were joined in holy matrimony, and we became as one, and we were he. And we were my husband. You know, that's what Sandy always said, you know, and it took her, you know, the better part of her adult life to learn that she's not happy being he. She wants to be she. And those of us who know Sandy are so grateful that she is, you know. But she gave, it isn't that he took it from her, she gave it to him. He didn't demand herself. She surrendered. There wasn't even a fight going on. She simply surrendered who she was to the relationship. And so she lived a lot of unhappy years. So everyone has to have their own identity. You know, it's basic math. How many is a couple? How much, you know, how many makes two? What plus what equals two? One third and one half of a personality do not make two. You know, if I am a fractured personality, which is an accurate, you know, a synonym for early recovering alcoholic or addict, I cannot be one half of a whole. I can't be a whole of two. Half of two is one whole person. It takes two whole persons. If you're a family of three, then it takes three whole persons. And if one partner gets fractured, the focus has to be the greatest good for all. And that's a personal decision. Sometimes it means we all stay together. Sometimes it means we all have to change our relationship. But it has to be whole people involved with each other in order to make it work. So the focus has got to be on my autonomy. Not only is autonomy desirable, it is required. Autonomy in health relationships is required. Because not only do I become resentful when I give up my life, so does whoever I gave it to. They don't want my life. They're trying to have their own, you know. My daughter doesn't want me to live out my life for her, because it really crowds her. You know, if I'm only living for her, she's not going to have any fun. You understand what I'm saying? She doesn't want the responsibility of being my happiness. Jesus, what a job. Entertain Donna Jenkins until she dies. You know, what a price to request of someone. But many women will have a child because they're unhappy. So they have a child who will now entertain nothing till I die. They'll be cute for me when they're babies. And they'll perform for my friends when they're 6 and 7 and 10 and learn to play the instrument. And they make great things to carry in your wallet. Especially if you have a photogenic one like mine. She takes great pictures. And I'm like, oh, she's so pretty. Doesn't look anything like me. Yeah, she is a beautiful woman. You know, but we have that child for the wrong reason. And then, of course, when we get old, and especially those of us who tend to live our life financially irresponsible, we are certainly expecting that those children will spend the rest of their life supporting us. I drank away my money. I don't go to work. I get fired. I don't invest. I don't start a savings account. I use plastic until they won't let me use it anymore. And now I expect that my daughter will support me because I was irresponsible. What an interesting concept. Autonomy is required, as near as I can tell. 5, each marriage or relationship has but one primary purpose. Now, that was a question on your test. What's the primary purpose of a relationship? What did you put on your test? So you have, think, you know, what did you put, what is the primary purpose of your relationship? The primary purpose of every relationship is to serve as an expression of God's love. The primary purpose is to serve as an expression of God's love. And what, if that's the primary purpose of all my relationships, my, how busy I shall be. Think of the relationships you have going today, whatever they are. Is that the primary purpose of whatever that relationship is? To serve as an expression of God's love. To be my offering to my higher power in thanks for my sobriety, or my health, or my wealth, or whatever gift God has given to me. Do I then go out and make relationships that show my appreciation to God? Or do I make relationships to glorify myself? Do I make relationships so I can get more money? Is your job only a source of money at the end? You're not going to be very happy. I don't care whether you're making the money or you aren't. I have friends on both ends of the spectrum. And if their job is only about money, they're never happy in their job. Whether they're making the money or not making the money. Whether you're above 100 grand a year for below 20 grand a year, if all your job is money, do you ever thank God for your ability to perform your job? And I don't care what that job is, mine is doing waffles. Thank God for the physical ability to perform your job. Has it ever occurred to you? Jerry Martin asked us a couple years ago, have you ever thanked God for technicolor vision? Has it ever occurred to you to thank God that we see in color instead of black and white? I mean, has it ever occurred to you? When was the last time you said, God, thank you that I can see turquoise or hot pink? Six, a partner ought not to be overly supportive, spiritually, emotionally, or physically, to the marriage or relationship. Less problems of ego gratification divert him or her from the primary purpose. And let me tell you that my number one all-time primary purpose up until I entered recovery and well into my sixth, seventh, or eighth year, my primary purpose was indeed ego gratification. Those of you sitting in this room who are now saying, well, that's not my problem because I'm a lot less than these other women, that's the attitude I had. I was the worst walking woman. The worst. I was lowest of low, the least of least. Zero self-esteem. Do you know that having zero self-esteem is an ego problem? I am not the worst woman that has ever walked the earth. There are people who have done worse things than me. There are people who have not done things that I have done. And there are people who have done the same things. I am not the worst. I am just another alcoholic. I am just another suffering human being trying to figure out and follow what God's will is for me in my life. Ego gratification. That's that. Victim. Those of you that are victims are gratifying your ego. Ego gratification is the stuff that leads to those resentments and disagreements and arguments. Whenever you are arguing, there is only one question to ask when you're arguing. If you are arguing within your relationship, and whatever the relationship is, and an argument ensues, one question, can God's voice be heard over mine in this argument? Who's talking the loudest in our family? Me, him, or God? Can God's voice be heard over the racket and chaos going on in the relationship? If I am so loud or ugly or loud, you understand what I'm saying? And that God's voice cannot be heard over mine, we are in deep shit in this relationship. Our best relationship, but which question was that? Number three. Our best relationship is one where dependence is? What's the word? Where dependence is what? What? Our best relationship are ones where dependence is mutual. Mutual. I only depend upon you as you depend upon me. Together, our income pays the mortgage, or together, we raise the children, or together, we paint the bedroom a color we both like. Dependence is mutual. We lean on each other when we need it. Everybody needs help. No man, but who is, I always get that mixed up, Thoreau or Walden. No man or woman is an island unto themselves. Dependence is mutual, and independence is close. Equal. Independence is equal. Everyone has equal rights. Equal rights cannot survive in a relationship without equal rights. What are the biggest wars? South Africa. What happened in South Africa without equal rights? What's happening in Bosnia? What's the conflict about? What happened? What's in Northern Ireland? Equal rights between Catholics, all that. They won't allow everybody an equal right in all of those situations. Equal rights. Independence has got to be equal. Big job. Step six, let's take a 5-minute break. Teresa, we check the circuit breaker, see if we pop the air breaker off. Tradition number 7. Each partner ought to strive to be fully self-supporting spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically self-supporting. Self-supporting does not have to be financial. One person can be the primary breadwinner. If everyone is self-supporting spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Being self-supporting is impossible when one of the partners is the higher power for the other. The same is true when one is overly dependent upon the other for emotional well-being. Having to have someone in your life in order for you to be okay. Gladys Knight's wonderful fiancé, Les Brown, those of you who have ever heard him speak, you know, says that people surrender their entire life hoping they won't have to die alone. Waste their entire life hoping they won't have, that's right, you're right, honey, and that is exactly his point. You are going out of here holding God's hand, or you are going out on your own. But people will surrender their entire life in order to have some partner to be with them when they die. Nobody's going with you but you and your higher power when you go. I mean, in theory, you could go in a plane crash, but everyone there is going with their higher power. They ain't going with you. If you and I are there and the plane go down, I will kiss you goodbye and I will try to survive. If I survive, I'll try to help you. That's why they always tell you to put your oxygen mask on first. All the students are doing this, you know. Put your oxygen, you know, and people go, well, why don't you help your kid first? Well, because if you stop breathing, your kid can't do it alone. That is why they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first, then help the children and the handicapped. Who can't do it alone? Oh, what a concept. If I'm not physically fit, I cannot raise my children. If I can't do laundry, my kids can't go to school. If I can't provide them with breakfast, how are they going to learn if they go to school hungry? These are the ills, you know, I could get going now, the ills of society. If you feed them all day and breakfast, they might could read when they're 15. You know, I mean, but this is the stuff. First things first. It's much more exciting for me to campaign against my granddaughter's kindergarten teacher than it is to keep her clothes clean, make sure she eats the hot meal before she gets on the bus, and help her with her homework. I'd much rather fight with the teacher. You must not be a good teacher. She ain't paying attention. We do that with our sponsors. They must not be a good sponsor. So-and-so is drinking again. Must be her fault. Must have had a bad sponsor. But that's, you know, it's had a, you have got to be self-employed. People are put here to enhance our lives, not to be our lives. If you are not responsible for yourself, you cannot be an equal in your relationship. You become a potential victim for the managers and controllers of the world. You place your position, yourself in a position of great vulnerability. And I guarantee you, you will be hurt. You will be hurt if you cannot be responsible for yourself. You will get hurt. Eight, our marriage or relationship should remain forever a free and giving relationship, one to the other. No scorekeeping. When do you need love? When do you need love the most? When you are the most unlovable. Last night, when I got mad about something, I was at my worst. I was out of control with my own stuff. I was upset, angry, hurt, resentful. My friends did not take my inventory. They came and put their arms around me, and we all said a prayer together, and I began to stop being angry. I was my most unlovable for a moment there, and they loved me enough to love me when I needed it most, when I'm unable to love myself. So remember that. I need love the most when I am the most unlovable. So when someone is being unlovable, it is my responsibility to love them the hardest. It is our responsibility as recovering members of Alcoholics Anonymous, CA, NA, Al-Anon, to love the slippers the most. It is my responsibility to give whatever I have. What is the principle? What is a principle? A spiritual law that works every time. The principles of the prayer of St. Francis that Jody referred to this morning, being on the wrong side of the prayer of St. Francis, those principles in that prayer work every time. Every time. Every time. I have never failed to give something that I have not got 10 more back. I have never failed. Maybe not from who I gave to. It's up to God where it comes back, not up to me. I give here, it comes back over there. I gave over there, something else comes back to me over here. Judgment is not allowed. Healthy relationships have none of the following roles. I want you to listen carefully, because you, if you are any of these things, you are not in a healthy relationship. If you are a prisoner, if you are a prisoner of your family, your job, your marriage, you are not, it's not a healthy relationship. No victim in a healthy relationship. No hostages. It is not a healthy relationship if we're in it for the kids. I'm staying so the kids can have a dad and a mom. Would that be the two people trying to kill each other in the bedroom? Would that be the guy shooting up in the bathroom and the woman on the phone to her mother in the living room? Those are the two people who are staying together for the good of the children. Hostages. There's no police in a healthy relationship. I hate when I am placed in a... That was one of the things that was got me going last night. I found myself in the role of policeman. It is not healthy for me to be anybody's policeman. It is not healthy for me. Let alone the poor people I'm policing. You saw those tapes? You know, every 6 months we have a tape of somebody being beat by the police. That would be my method. Do what I want or I'll punch you. Or I'll get a bigger, stronger friend to punch you. Soldiers. There's no soldiers in a healthy relationship. God's little soldier. Remember that from Sunday school? You're Jesus' little soldier. Where in the Bible did Jesus call the soldiers?
I used to wonder.
You know, I never remember him having an army. You know, not soldiers. No, no. No manager in healthy relationship. Waffle House. I work for Waffle House. I'm in management with Waffle House and have been for the majority of the 15 years I've been in Georgia. And last year, we abandoned the term management. We are not managers. We are coaches. The best time that requires extraordinary recovery to allow people to release them to the will of God. Never doing for someone what they can do for themselves. Knowing what's my business, what's your business, and what's God's business. If you can't figure out what to do about something, ask yourself, that, is this my business? Is this their business, or is this God's business? And if it isn't in your column, leave it alone. Describe anonymity as it might apply to a relationship. Right, the right to be myself, to realize that you are going to allow you to be yourself. What can prayer change in a relationship?
Everything.
Nope. Me. It's only one thing that my prayers can change. One thing that my prayers can change. Me. Donna's prayers only change Donna. I change when I pray. Most of the men I married and divorced have remained the same.
over the years. I, however, have changed. Prayer can only change me. If you are praying for God to change the person in your relationship, you are wasting yours and God's time. List examples of the following: assets, liabilities. That is a thought question. What would be an asset? What would be a liability? I have one other handout, and I don't have a lot of them. I want to give you something that a sponsee gave me. I'm not even sure where she came across it. I think someone gave it to her. It is the Serenity Prayer is all. Oh, the Serenity Prayer. The paragraph that we are familiar with is only the beginning of the Serenity Prayer as it was written. And so those of you who may have this somewhere at home, just pass it by. But there is more to the Serenity Prayer as it was first published. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. No, they're passing them out. They're passing them around. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as the world as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. That is the complete Serenity Prayer. Take this home, use it as you will, think about it in the non-traditional way. There's no more in there, honey. They've got them, they're passing them around back there. Open your consciousness. You know, it takes willingness to have an open mind in order to be happy. The best place to practice relationships is with a sponsor. Go out and get and use a sponsor. Thank you all. Have a wonderful afternoon.